And I can remember looking in his face and saying, well, you need to suck it up, sir, because you're dooming your kids.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Not good, Scott. Not good at all. Yes. I just found, in the scope of things, I guess it's not that big a deal, but I was outside because, have you been hit by the frozen tundra? Is it really cold down there?
It's freezing, yes. Like 9 degrees.
Do you have some snow too?
Oh, yeah. They told us we were going to get like a foot, and then we got like 3 inches and a little rain, so.
I know it. I think it's a plot to ruin childhood hopes, and dash them to the ground. Because all the children everywhere are like, oh, the weatherman said we're going to get 47 inches of snow. Yeah. And then there's a dusting.
And I would just like to point out, these are the same people who at noon on Tuesday were telling us in Cincinnati that we were going to have a foot of snow by midnight, and we ended up with a couple inches. These are the same people who want to tell you that in 20 years, the earth is going to be uninhabitable because of the same types of weather models that they use.
Don't even get me started, Scott. The world is just stupid. They're just stupid, 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 stupid. I heard a lady, they were talking about you got me started. They were talking about they have a couple different things that are going to be landing on Mars, from different countries. They're taking pictures they're saying that they're getting ready to land again. And somebody said, this is one of the scientists, we really need to draw some laws or limits because it wouldn't be right to colonize another planet after we've destroyed ours. And I'm like, stupid, 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 stupid. This lady also said that, that they're having this, something that's going to be landing on the surface of Mars. And apparently it's a big deal because it's not like they can just put out a parachute because the atmosphere is not thick enough. So it would just crash into the ground. And so they're always on pins and needles because they've done it once before. And she said, but this time, we'll be so excited, but we won't be able to hug each other or high five each other because we will be socially distanced. And I'm like, you're a scientist. Quit talking that way. They've already said you can't get it from the casual contact like that.
To say nothing of the fact that from what little I know of Mars with my, scientific layman's brain here.
You are a physicist.
Yes. It's so bizarrely, incredibly uninhabitable by us. There's no way we could live there. It's just insane to think of that. So anyway.
I know it.
I was hoping you were going to say that there were going to be competing imperialist tendencies among the Mars robots, and they were going to have like robot death match on Mars between Russia and the United States or something.
No.
That would be cool. They could sell tickets to that.
No. Yeah. They did use the word imperialistic, I think. Or is that when you take over another state or a country, like I think imperialism, maybe that might be the right word. Colonization. It's not colonization, but something like that. But they were really like that we're going to take over the rocks on Mars. Yeah. And make it worse for them because there is no life there. I don't know. It was just stupid. But I got sidetracked. That wasn't even what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, because you asked me, how's it going? I said, not good. And it's because it's not good because I was outside in the snow. And I feel like this is just a long story to get back there. We've spent the last day, all day yesterday, unsticking cars in our driveway. My wife's going to go off to co-op here in a few minutes. And I know she's going to say, I'm stuck. But I went out this morning and I'm like, man, it just feels extra cold, especially in my seat region, because I thought maybe I had brushed up against, you know, snow or maybe something dripped. So I reached back there and I've got like a big hole.
Did you forget to put your pants on again?
Yeah. And the darndest thing happened. Yes. Now I got a big hole in. And these are like my favorite work pants.
Oh.
So it's just like, you know, every dad has his favorite pair of pants. Debbie's dad had his favorite pair of pants that he wore for 30 years. I mean, and in his last, I don't know, 5 years of living, I hardly ever saw him not in those pants. So apparently they're not going to be these pants.
I think I'm auditioning those pants for myself right now.
Are you?
Three pairs. I'm trying to figure out which one is going to be them. Unfortunately, I don't think sweatpants last 30 years.
No, but they do look good when you go to the nursing home. They do. You get some gray ones and boom, kind of baggy.
I always wanted to do that like swishy Adidas running suit, you know, that's kind of plasticky, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think that'd be a good look for you.
Yeah.
So I do think it comes, this does come a point where dad says, you know, I got to look not like a hobo, you know, and I need to comb my hair, maybe shave, and for my wife, for my children, because sometimes dads do kind of let themselves just fall the pot, you know, go to pot. Fall to pot or go to pot?
Go to pot, I think.
I don't know.
Fall apart, go to pot.
Fall apart, go to pot. Yeah, okay. What were you thinking about?
I think since hitting 50, I'm having my midlife crisis now, which I might have been having for a long time now. I don't know. But I'm thinking that it's time to really get in shape. And because I've always wanted to get in great shape and then buy like, you know, one of those sweet Italian suits and with no tie and just look really cool, you know.
And have a big gold chain that says you to dad.
Yeah, I want to do that before I, you know, completely go to pot. But,
before you have to have the hair implants?
I'm figuring it's going to have to happen pretty soon or it's just too late.
I know it. Good intentions, Scott. We all have good intentions. Oh, yeah. Well, but it's been snowing here. Kids kind of like, it's beautiful outside, right. But it is.
Let's get the rest of the bad news out of the way because I'm about done with bad news and ready to like.
Okay, tell me.
Last night I found out Rabbi Zacharias was like apparently terrible person. I found out that Carmen died. And I'm just
Carmen did?
Yes. I'm like just.
Oh, man. I didn't know
I'm
that.
I'm done, man. I'm going to go like sit in a dandelion patch somewhere and stare up at the clouds and see what shapes I can find in them. Do something to make myself feel better.
Okay. Yeah, I know it. You know, which is with Ravi Zacharias, again, just a reminder to dads that, you know, the thing is, he was a normal guy. He was a normal guy, and guys make dumb mistakes. But if you're thinking you can hide your dumb mistakes, they always find you. So, you know, finish well, Dad. Finish well. Which reminds me, Scott, the last two nights, you know, for the last 18 years, I've kind of made my living. I heard. And God took care of us, you know, going around speaking to different groups. Well, the last two nights in a row, I have spoken to two totally Amish groups. I mean, all Amish. There were no other people. The night of the big snow, which was on Monday night, we had a Valentine's banquet and they kind of contacted us kind of last minute, you know, just about a month ago, maybe a little longer than that. And the contact form that my assistant sent to me, I was looking at it, and for the church, it said something like the 42nd District Church. And I'm thinking, 42nd District Church? What kind of name is that? And I knew it was in an Amish area, and I did a little Googled the Google Maps, the address, and it was like there was no buildings there. I'm thinking, what is going on? And then to find out, so when I pulled in Monday, there were all buggies there. All buggies. And it was awesome. It was just a great. I walk in and see, I can say this on a podcast because they're never going to hear it. You know, they don't have electricity.
There's like one teenager who's listening secretly on his little iPhone that he got.
That he cranks with a crank.
Yes.
And he's gonna tell everybody. But But it was really interesting. I mean, all these buggies were, it was snowing like crazy. And I'm thinking, and in fact, I said, well, I'm glad I don't have to ride home in a buggy tonight. They had men walk through one door, women walk through another door, and kind of like this, like a barn. It was probably four times the size of my barn, kind of a barn garage shop. And they just built it really for gatherings. And there were probably 80 people there. They had it all decorated up real nice, and they had fancy meal, you know, with an incredible dessert. But it was so much fun. It was just an awesome, awesome time. I'll tell you, Amish people are like, they're surprising. They're surprising because, well, maybe it's because of their upbringing, because their normal life is kind of stoic. But I'll tell you, when I start talking and just sharing, they laugh harder than anybody. They cry easy. It's just like someone uncorked, you know, a champagne bottle and it goes. And then afterwards, all the guys came up and we're just talking, and it was just, and then I did it again last night. I went to another event because apparently, you know, and it's kind of interesting actually, because their churches are not, you don't like say, oh, I want to go to this church over here. If you're in an Amish community, it's divided up geographically. So, you know, the lines are marked out on the street just about, you know. And so if you're on this side of the street, you go to this group. If you're on that side of the street, you go to that group. And so someone on the other side of the street invited me just, I don't know, a week and a half ago, maybe not even that long ago. It was kind of last minute. And I went there last night, and there was another 80 people in another building. I could almost see the other church building. And again, it was great. It was awesome. But I guess what I was struck by, because I had several of those guys say, it's amazing how it doesn't matter what your culture is. And he wasn't just talking about Amish versus non-Amish. He was saying, you know, even in Africa or wherever, that we dads, we kind of face the same things. And I was thinking about that because my message to them was super, super simple. Just things that our wives need from us and that our kids need from us. And I thought maybe we just spend a little bit of time, Scott, sharing those things. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask before you get into the really deep stuff here, do you have like a set of standard Amish jokes you tell? At that,
I don't know, because they've heard the Amish jokes, but I did tease them. You make
fun of non-Amish people?
I do. And I'll tell you, when you're talking, it's amazing how many. I mean, you're like changing things on the fly because they're super. I mean, if they drive a buggy, they might have a teenager kid who has a car, you know, and they all work in factories. So they know everything, except they don't know any television shows. So if you cannot make any reference to anything, because it just goes right over their head. It's just not funny. But I'd say something like, I was listening on the radio and I said, oh, you know what that is? The talking box, you know, and they would laugh and they thought that was so funny. After I get done, this guy gets up and he goes, he's like, you know, kind of wrapping it all up, and he's talking in Dutch German, and I'm like, is he talking about me? You know, and they just thought that was so funny, and it's a lot of fun. So I didn't use any Amish jokes, even though there are, you know, lots of Amish jokes you could tell.
All right,
so now for the deep part. No deep stuff, but I was just thinking for Amish guys, because you know, when you start, even though they might look different than us, Scott, it is really interesting because, you know, I wanted to go in and go, so do you have bathrooms, you know, or where do you do the sacrifices? But when you come in, my coat was the only one that was not homemade. You know, everybody else's coats are homemade, and mine's sitting next to them like this blue puffer jacket, and they all have, you know, these black, heavy kind of handmade coats. And, you know, all the guys have their hats all stacked around, you know. And I walked in the door because I came a little late. I didn't come for the meal. I just came for dessert. And I walk in. And, I mean, it is like, you know, one of those shows where this girl, she's inviting her guy over to her rich, whatever family, and they're all white and very white, and he's black and very black, and they all look at, that's how I felt. I felt like they all turned around and just looked at me and like, who are you? So, but I knew a couple of the people in the group who had, I'd spoken to them a couple different times. And so at least I had some context. The group that I spoke at last night, zero context. And this guy goes, I said, hey, could somebody at least introduce, start me, you know? And so he goes up and he's like, we have a guest with us today and he's going to introduce himself. And then he sat down. I'm like, whoa, that's, here's Johnny. You know. So anyway, but you know, so they do look different.
Dude, we should do these together. I could come along and be like your Dean Martin drunk guy who comes in and like, you know, you look great, and I'm like heckling you at the same time.
In your sweatpants.
Yes, there you go.
In your sweatpants. with your shirt collar open.
It would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I'll steal like a bunch of old Don Rickles jokes and
there you go. I see you more of a Rodney Dangerfield guy.
Great.
Rickles. No respect.
Rickles wasn't bad enough. I got to go with Dangerfield. All right.
So anyway, so they, you know, even though they do, and we only got like 9 minutes because then I got to go. You know, they look like us, but talking to them afterwards. Or they don't look like us, but talking to them afterwards, I mean, it's just like talking to you, Scott. It's just like talking to any dad. And they struggle with the same things we do as dads. You know, like we were talking about just smiling at your kids. Dad, I know you're like them because you're like me. Sometimes we forget to smile at our children. You know, that we spend all our time trying to bring our children to this standard because we want them to be productive kids. We want them to do what's right. We want them to be, you know, the kind of people God wants them to be. So all we do is we're critical, you know, so we have the teenager, you know, kid who, you know, maybe has a bunch of emotion and he has these outbursts and we're just constantly on them. Like, can't you control yourself? You know, you're just making it so hard. And we've just forgotten to smile at our kids. So I encourage those dads to smile. And I'm encouraging you, Dad, just to smile at your kids today. And you probably have some kids who need an extra smile from you. And I know there are some dads who say, well, I just don't, I can't smile at him because he doesn't do anything to be smile worthy. You need to smile even when they don't deserve it. And you can do it. I mean, Scott, are you looking at me on the screen right now?
I am.
So I could show you my, let me show you the hole in my Vans. No.
Please don't.
No. But look at my face. There's a smile. I mean, it is just I have control.
Smile, let me tell you.
I have a control over my mouth. You know, I can make myself smile. That's what you do as a dad. You go up to this kid or your wife and you make yourself smile. Why? Because you feel like it? No. Because you know they need to see your smile. Because, again, I don't know about you, Scott, but you know, when your dad or your mom or your wife, when she smiles at you, it means all is right with the world, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we long for this. Our kids long for that. And so you need to do it, Dad. I told these Amish guys, you need to tell your kids and your wife that you love them. Now, you may not be a word guy. And Scott, I'm going to guess it's not hard for you to tell the people in your family you love them, is it? Is that correct?
It is. That is correct. It's not hard.
Do you have certain people in your family, don't say names, that it's harder for them, do you think? Maybe it doesn't come as naturally?
Yeah, in my extended family, definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. But sometimes, you know, I know their dads, it's hard for them to say it. It reminds me of that Fiddler on the Roof, you know, where Reptivia, you know, the big guy, where he says to his wife, you know, can't think what her name is. I don't know. You know, do you love me? And he says, and she goes, you know, I've done all these things for you for 23 years. I've washed your head, da, 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 you know, but she doesn't really answer because for some reason she just won't say it. Dads, your kids need to hear you say, use your words. You know, they need to hear you say, I love you. They need to hear you say, I'm proud of you, or you did good, or I like who you are, or that was a good choice, or you were smart, or whatever. I think sometimes we think that we show them, because, I mean, you've heard people say this, Scott, haven't you? I mean, you'll hear, oh, you'll maybe read an article and they'll say, my dad never said it, but I knew he did. And they're saying love. Well, you know, shame on that dad, because a dad should say that. He should say those words. So again, here's your assignment this week. You need to smile at your kids and you need to make sure your kids hear your words, whether it's I love you, I'm proud of you, or something that affirms or reaffirms them. You know, I think we need to be less critical and more encouraging in those same things. And then, you know, in touch. Again, I think, you know, for these Amish guys, I remember we went to a home church for a while. And when I quit pastoring a church, and it was a great church, it was a great body. The great bodies change after a while, so it became less of a great body.
Just like mine.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a guy who came one time, and there was a guy in our group. His name was Amos. He was a former Amish guy, but he brought a friend who was Amish. I mean, obviously Amish. He had the beard. He had the whole thing. And he was a Christian, and he just made a comment about how my wife and I, we were affectionate. You know, I'd put my arm around her. He goes, my wife and I never did that, ever. He goes, and they had like 11 kids. He said, you know, he goes, when I got married, he goes, I went up with a buddy. And this, you know, that we live in northern Indiana. He said, we went up to Michigan to go get two women, he said. And so they got one for each of them. And he said, we just have never had it. And their family, they struggled as a family then. So again, maybe you're not a toucher. I talked to one dad and he was saying, not this time, but I have talked to a dad fairly recently. And he said, you know, I don't like when my kids touch me. He goes, it grosses me out. I just don't like them to hang on me. And I can remember looking in his face and saying, well, you need to suck it up, sir, because you're dooming your kids, because your kids need your touch, boys and girls. I just saw the start of an article. I didn't read it, but it said, you know, is it creepy when, you know, dads touch their older girls? Well, no, it's not creepy for a dad to put his arm around his daughter or to give her a big old hug and not let her go until, you know, he says, I'm not done yet. You know, yes, there are times where we've gone too far and shouldn't go too far. Never, you know, but your daughters need your touch, Dad. Your sons need your touch. And again, there's nothing magic to it. You may not feel like it. You just take your hand and you put it on their shoulder and you squeeze it, or, you know, you put your arm around them. I can do it to, I don't like touching other guys, you know, but I can come up to you right now, Scott, and I can make myself do it if I were, you know, sitting next to you, whether I liked it or not. And you as a dad must do it with your children. So here's your assignment again. Smile at your children, reaffirm them with your words, and then you touch them. All of those. That's it. That's all you have to do. And then lastly, just as I'm just about out of time, is just a reminder not to give up. Not to give up. I've had a couple conversations, not with Amish guys, but with regular guys. In fact, I'm doing something, Scott, that I've never done in our church before. I'm not very involved in our church because normally, you know, we travel a lot. So I told that we've been going there for about 6 or 7 years. But when we first started going, I told them, I'm going to be a taker. You're not going to see me very often. And when I come, you know, that's it. I'm just going to come. Because, you know, when you show up at their church and they ask you to teach Sunday school on the first Sunday, it just, you know, you're thinking, no. But so not this Saturday, but next Saturday, I just wrote this pastor and I said, hey, could I host a dad gathering? And he was real excited about it. I said, the reason is because I talked to a couple guys at church and just two separate conversations in the last week and a half. And they both said how they were overwhelmed by dadness. You know, they had each had a you know, some kids that they were like, they didn't know what to do. And it just felt overwhelming to them. They said, you know, I never knew it was going to be this hard. And so I asked the pastor, I said, hey, could we have a gathering? We're going to do dads and donuts. There's not going to be a program. I'm not going to speak. Nobody's going to speak. And we're just going to let dads ask questions, share the story, and hear that, you know, other people are in the same boat. And I was thinking, maybe you ought to do that too, Dad, that you would do a dad gathering in your church and no agenda except dads gathering together and asking questions. and letting other people talk. Because, you know, here's what I want for those dads. And both of them, when I was talking to them, I didn't have any answers for them. I just said, hey, don't give up. You know, you're not alone. Keep smiling at your kids. Keep loving them no matter what they choose. You know, the things we just said. But we need each other to tell each other that. Or you do start to think you're the only one facing what you're facing. And you do start to pull out and you do give up. And that's when bad things happen. So anyway, hey, I'm out of time. One more thing. Scott, you're familiar with Bodie Bauckham, aren't you? Do you know the name?
No.
Okay. Well, Bodie Bauckham, I know it's lots of listeners listening. Lots of the listeners listening have maybe heard him speak. He's a big, powerful, charismatic kind of speaking guy, dad. He's got, I think, 9 children. He's spoken all over the place, but he moved to Africa, like, I don't know how many years ago. He's African-American, big personality, you know. And he moved to Africa, I don't know, a couple of years ago. He was teaching at a Bible college out there. Well, I just got an email, like a shared email, that said he was kind of feeling exhausted, tired. He thought maybe it was because of his schedule and he had a check. And he goes, I'm in the midst of heart failure, he said. And basically he said, I don't know if this is going to, how this is going to end, but I might just have to go home. You know, home. And so he's coming back to America. They've already raised, and within a week, they raised over $1 million for his hospital expenses. But this guy, you know, just might end up going to heaven, and he still has a bunch of kids. So, you know, it sounds the way I'm saying it, just sounds like, oh, that's what Christians do, and that's, isn't that a wonderful thing? It is a wonderful thing. But when you're a dad with 9 kids, there's some kids who, and a wife who needs their man. Their dad. So I'm going to kind of close it off by praying for Bodie. And if you remember him, would you pray for him as well? So let's pray. Father, I just pray for Bodie, not as a messenger for you, but as a dad to his kids and a husband for his wife. I pray that you would be gracious and that you would give him more days and they would be precious days. I pray that maybe you would be merciful and that you would heal him. Because you can. Use the doctors as he comes home, or is home probably now, to treat him. I pray that they would have a plan that would extend his days here on earth. But again, Father, we know he's safely in your hands, and his children are as well. But as a dad for a dad, we pray, and we pray it in your name. Amen. Well, hey, Dad, have a great week. If you're deep in the snow, enjoy it with your kids, or maybe not get too frustrated when you're pushing out your wife's car or your car. And don't forget to smile, to touch, and to tell those people that you love them. Because you know why? Because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.